Hi, this is Katie Day, and welcome to Creating Ripples, the programme that showcases inspirational women across the globe. Sometimes it is the small acts and achievements that can create the biggest ripples. We're here to share some amazing stories. They will make you laugh. Sometimes they may make you cry. They will always inspire you. Today, it is my absolute pleasure to be interviewing the truly wonderful Petra Lander. Petra was born in Germany. She has studied, lived, and worked in Switzerland, Germany, Iran, Spain, and Belgium, from where she came to the UK in 1982. Today, she lives in London, Sussex, and southern Spain. She has widely travelled and speaks five languages. Adding value and making renovating, refurbishing, and remodeling homes effortless for busy, discerning clients has become her consuming passion. Her unique skills are space planning, storage solutions, problem solving, and putting the soul back into run-down homes. After a varied corporate career in the luxury hotel and business travel industries, and following a redundancy, Petra chose to follow her passion for all things property, renovating, interior architecture and design. And she founded Room for Style Inspired Interiors in 2002. Her personal interests include travel, photography, dancing, swimming in the sea. That's hugely brave in East Sussex, let me tell you. And she is a great lover of really good food.
Indeed.
Aren't we all? Thank you, Petra.
Thank you, Katie.
It's a pleasure to be interviewing you. We met years ago at a conference for women.
That's right.
When we happened to decide to go to the same breakout workshop. And we started chatting and you were telling me you were a property renovator and you were thinking about Hastings. And I said, I live in Hastings. And that was how many years ago?
That's at least
14 years.
Yeah, 10, probably 10 years ago, something
at
like that.
At least 10 years ago, isn't it? Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Absolutely, yeah. And I hadn't actually really thought about Hastings, but when you said that you lived here, I wanted to come and visit.
Ah.
And I had heard about Hastings as a regeneration area. And as I drove down to effectively St. Leonard's, which is a part of Hastings, I just fell in love with all these effectively very rundown buildings at the time, but with lots of character and period features. And I thought, this would be a good place for me to come and renovate property. And that's exactly what happened.
Mm.
And I eventually found the property and did renovate it, enjoyed my trips down from London, daily trips, coming towards the sunrise in the morning and going towards sunset in the evenings. And every time I came here, I thought, God, this is coming on holiday, because I love the sea. I'm very passionate about water and the sea in general. And when the flat was finished, I just thought, wow, this is too nice for somebody else to live in it. I shall try this myself for a while. And the idea was at the time to actually live half here and half in London.
Okay.
And it was only after I realized that I was going less and less and less to London, to stay in London, and that I could actually sublet my bedroom in London for a lot, lot more than I would get for the whole flat here, that I decided I'm going to stay here. So it kind of happened almost organically, not by design,
okay,
but by accident.
And Hastings found you.
Hastings found me.
Is that a hazard of your business that you fall in love with the places you renovate and you actually don't want anybody else living in them?
No, it hadn't been up to then, but I had always dreamt of an almost white flat, which this flat was, and I've always loved living near water, and this flat is across the street from the seafront, as you know, and I just thought this is amazing. And this decision actually ultimately saved my life, because that happened just before the credit crunch. And when the credit crunch came, it really put an end to my property developer career. And being down here in Hastings, where things are much, much cheaper than anywhere else, especially London, and also the place where I made a lot of good friends, not least through you and mm-hmm. your friends. And people are very open here. You can talk mm-hmm. to them. It's very friendly. And that actually saved my bacon being down
wow.
here.
Wow.
So it obviously had to happen this yeah. way. The angels, were pushing me this way.
It's amazing. People land in Hastings and St. Leonard's when they need to. It's an amazing place, doesn't it? It kind of draws people in, and you don't always realise why you need to be here until you've landed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's got and amazing
also,
energy.
I think it was not a good place for from a property investment perspective. I was told that we should invest in regeneration areas, and I knew that Hastings was a regeneration area, but I have since learned that the regeneration has to include, first and foremost, if you invest in property, infrastructure. And it didn't include that here in Hastings.
Of course.
So
yeah.
the expected upturn in property prices didn't happen, which, interestingly, somebody who did the Wealth Dynamics course with me said, and who was an accumulator, said to me, no, it's not going to happen for the next 10 years. And he was absolutely right, because it's happening right now.
Yeah.
And that was 10 years ago.
Wow, so. fascinating.
And I didn't really believe that, but big learning for me in that respect. And yeah.
Well, I guess if you're in something for the long haul, then it's okay, because when you bought was the right time to buy. So if you're not looking for that quick turnover, then it was the right time to buy. If you're looking at the long term, and you may go to other areas for the quick turnover, this is definitely a long term thing.
Absolutely, yeah. And my entire property development career had been started with the intention of actually buy and hold. I had a buy and hold strategy because I wanted to have enough in my portfolio to be able to manage it as a sole trader. Not I didn't want to build a huge property empire, but I felt that I had enough properties to sell when I want to retire, that I could then buy outright at least one or two
right.
and have a couple maybe for income, but the rest I was gonna get rid of at the time. Sadly, a lot of them have been taken away from me, but I've managed to keep two in this country and one in Germany. So so far so good. we're still swimming. Actually, we're coming back up on top of a wave.
Good.
Recently.
Good. So you're born in Germany. You speak five languages. Obviously, German and English are two of them. What are the other three?
I also speak fluent French, because my first studies abroad were in Switzerland, where I studied hotel management, and that was all in French.
Gosh.
So that was actually my first most competent foreign language, long before I got fluent in English. And then we've been holidaying in Spain ever since we were children, and so Spanish is another language.
Right.
I speak a few bits of other languages, like I speak Dutch a bit, I speak Italian a bit, and various dialects, German dialects like Swiss German or Austrian or things like that. But those are my main languages.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Puts me to shame. You just about do English and schoolgirl French. Do you remember my 50th birthday when we were at the Ritz in Paris? It was fantastic to have you there, because out of 14 women, you're the only one who spoke French. So you could do all the ordering of the wine for us. Jolly
That's
handy.
Right. And deal with the security man who wanted to prevent me from photographing.
Oh,
remember?
Really?
Because
they
thought I was a paparazzi.
Oh, okay.
And then I had to convince him that I was just there to photograph your birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
And that party. And then eventually they agreed that I could continue photographing, but just us lot. And nothing and nobody else.
That was a great day. So you were in the luxury hotel and business travel industry, and you were made redundant. When did that happen?
That actually happened it happened during the 9/11 disaster. Mm. I had just won a President's Award at American Express, which was my last employer. And I decided to go on a sabbatical, take 4 months off, and I was granted that sabbatical. And that was actually a time where a lot of things happened in my life. I had also just done, I started some self-development courses, mm-hmm. and I had done something called the Landmark Forum. And one of the key learnings, and that was also one of the themes I brought with me today for this interview, was creating possibility.
Nice.
Instead of raising expectations, they taught us what is the difference between raising an expectation or creating a possibility.
There's a big difference in the energy of those
huge,
two, isn't
big
there?
Difference, yeah.
Yeah.
And I must admit, when we were first told it and taught it, I didn't sort of really get it. But, and I tell you why I'm coming to this, because that played a major role when I was made redundant. But one of the things they said is, you know, just create, say it, just say it. I create the possibility of. And I did some evening seminars with them. And one day one of them said to me, okay, so what do you want to tackle today? And that was sort of part of the learning. And I said, well, I've got this sabbatical coming up, but I have no money to do what I want to do. And he said, well, what would you do? Have you created a possibility? I said, no. How do I create a possibility? He said, you just say it. So what would you create? And I said, well, I would create the possibility of traveling first class around the world.
And then, nice
and
creation.
Said, nice possibility. And I thought, oh, that sounded good. Well, believe it or not, 6 weeks later, I was traveling first class around the world. I started my trip, which was my sabbatical trip, and which sadly ended, well, the trip didn't end because of it, but during it, 9/11 happened, and it really impacted American Express very, very badly, because not only was practically every single company in the towers a customer, so there was a huge business loss for American Express, but they also had their head office, their own head office next to the towers, and that building was also damaged. They lost quite a few people in the towers because they had an implant in the towers. And so because I came back to a newly created role, or was supposed to come back to a newly created role, all new positions were scrapped as a consequence of 9/11. And that's how I was made redundant.
Wow.
Had nothing to do with me or, you know, or the business in general. But that just shows you how other things were impacted by this
how
disaster.
Life can turn.
Yeah. It impacted somebody like me who lived and worked in Europe. And anyway, when that happened, I remembered this event with this guy telling me about creating possibility, because what happened after I created that possibility was Landmark that evening. Things just happened around me. And I think the minute you put something in words like that, something happens in your brain. It's like if I say to you, don't look for a red mini. From that moment on, you will see one red mini after another. And it was a bit like that. One day, literally within a day or two, a colleague said, oh, Petra, you wouldn't know of somebody who is looking to rent a flat short term. We have to move out where we are and we're buying a flat, but it's being done up and we have to find short-term accommodation. And I had a friend who was looking for short-term tenants at that time. And so I said, yes, I think I know somebody, let me ask. And I went and asked, and the timing wasn't right or something didn't work, so it didn't work out. So the next day I came, and as I was saying to him, I'm sorry, it didn't work out, something went click in my head and I thought, oh, wait a minute, they could come and rent my flat while I'm going on this trip round the world. And that would pay my mortgage, so I wouldn't have to worry about the mortgage. So I just said, but how about you come and have dinner with me and have a look at my flat? Because I'm thinking of going on a long trip for 4 months and you could maybe rent my flat while I'm away. And they thought that was a great idea. They came for dinner that very evening. They moved in a week later. And so, which was effectively 4 weeks before I eventually started my trip. And that was it. That saved the mortgage payment. So that assured that. And I thought, wow, this seems to be working. So I thought, okay, now, then I started speaking to a travel agent and I started thinking, where would I want to go? And this started to take shape. And I had been to Vietnam with a young guy who wanted to start his own travel company at the time. And so I looked him up and I said, look, I'm planning this trip around the world. Could you help me? And he said, yes, definitely. You can do this, 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 and this. And I got very excited because I then thought, okay, I want to go to China. I want to go to Cambodia. I want to go to Australia, New Zealand, Argentina, and Spain. Peru, still Peru, and then back to Spain and sort of end my journey in Spain. So they said, oh, we can do all of that. And I got all very excited. And I said, and of course, you accept credit cards. And he said, oh, no, we're too newly established. We don't have that facility yet. So I thought, oh, bummer. How am I going to pay for this? And so I thought, what a disappointment. And I think that very evening my mother called and said, oh, your sister's very cross with me. I said, why is that, Mum? And she said, she found out I've got a lot of money sitting on a giro account. That's what they're called in Germany. And it doesn't pay any interest. And she said, you must speak to Petra because I'm sure you could invest this somewhere where you could get good interest instead of this just sitting there. And I said, oh, Mum, that's fantastic that you ring me. I know just where you can invest this for a lot bigger interest that you would get in Germany, which in those days they would pay probably about 5% for 5-6% for sort of, cash investments. And I said, you know what? You could give it to me because if I pay my trip on a credit card, that will cost me at least 19%. If you lend me the money, I can pay you 8% interest, which is a lot less than I would have to pay the credit card company. And it would help me and it would help you. And Mum thought that was an excellent idea. And bingo, I had my spending money for the journey. I did actually have some shares at American Express, but I didn't really want to sell them. And I thought, but if worse comes to worst, at least I have that safeguard and I can use that later. And it was actually good because that ended up buying me a new home. It was meant to buy me a new home or a deposit for it, but it ended up buying me and Mum another trip when I took my mother to Australia and New Zealand for her 75th birthday. And that money ended up paying for that. So that was really good. So having created this possibility, one thing after another fell into place. And indeed, 6 weeks later, I found out then that buying a round the world round trip first class ticket was actually very, very reasonable.
What was that?
And I needed first class, not least because I had to have luggage for 4 months. And that included winter and summer because of the countries that I traveled to. And in first class, you have a much, much higher luggage allowance. So I didn't have to pay extra for any luggage, which it would have cost me quite a bit extra. And it was very, very
comfortable way.
I can highly recommend it.
I've never done it. I aspire to travel.
And actually, interestingly, for years, having worked in the travel industry, we, of course, got great travel concessions. And we were able to travel, on special travel agent tickets, certainly business class. But I always had this desire that one day I want to be traveling in first class, having paid for it myself. Mm. I wanted this to be a true possibility for me, being within my means and not being dependent on my travel agent tickets. And there I was paying for my first class long haul trip.
Wow.
It was so fantastic. It made me feel so proud and a great achievement. And so when this terrible thing happened with me losing my job, and I was 47 at the time, and I thought, my God, what am I going to do now? And as it happened, I just remembered that I hadn't been so happy the last 2 years. I had changed departments, had a completely different... I probably went from the best boss to the worst boss. And I'd always heard myself saying, if only I had money, I would leave and become an interior designer.
Mm.
And then I thought, so wait a minute, this has worked before. How about creating the possibility of becoming an interior designer and American Express hiring you back as a contractor to actually make sure you have enough money to start up a new business that you really don't know nothing about? And that's exactly what I did. So when in the period where a lot of people had to go through this official consultation or whatever you call it, when, you know, so out of sales, 13 positions were scrapped. So everybody who was in sales had to reapply for the remaining positions. So there was a process of elimination. Well, I didn't have to go through this because there was only one position for one person. So I knew I was out, whereas most other people didn't know yet were they out, were they in. It depended on their interviews and all this. So the atmosphere was very, very challenging, very down. You know, lots of people, especially people with families, were obviously very worried, very low morale. And I thought, okay, I'm going to be the different one. I'm going to be very positive about this, you know, and I did. I literally went round to all the people I knew, and a lot of people knew me because of the award that I had won just a year before. And I just told everybody that, sadly, I was one of those leaving, but that I was not bitter. I could understand it was a necessary thing for American Express to do. And if they ever needed extra resources as a temporary fix, I'd be very happy to be called. And so that's exactly what happened. 2 months later, American Express called me. And by that time, I had sort of developed a brand name and a business card. And I was sort of starting to design curtains for people and making curtains for people. And actually, then American Express called. And then this possibility arose of me going back in. And then there was a big dilemma about what would they pay. And they had given us a lot of help in the process of before we were leaving, to be consulted on how do you work out what your daily earnings have to be, that sort of thing. So I had quite a steep idea of what I wanted to earn every day. And so when I told them that, they said, oh, we have no such budget. You know, we only have very little money. And then I remembered again something that we had been taught, and it was like, if you don't believe it, that you are worth it, nobody else will. And I thought, okay, I'm worth more than what they're willing to pay. And if they don't pay it, somebody else will. Which was very courageous at the time, because there was no great opportunity for getting a new job or anything. Yeah. I didn't know how successful my interior design business might be. And I had never, by the way, learned interior design. I just had a passion for it. But I thought, right, I'm definitely worth more than that, because I'm, you know, I was a top performer. I know the company. They don't have to teach me anything. So I said, you know, but I'm not proud. If you ever find that you have the budget, even if it's just for 1 week, call me. I'll come. Mm. And off I went. And everybody, all my friends thought I was completely mad. My family thought I was more than mad. And that was crazy for me to do in that position. And I was anxious, I have to admit. Mm. And yet something deep inside of me said, no, you are worth more. And 2 weeks later, they called me and said, we found more money. It wasn't quite what I wanted, but it was a lot more than they had offered. And so I thought, yeah, this can work.
That takes some guts. And to sit tight in that situation and wait and not do the knee-jerk panic, which most people would do.
And which I was, you know, late in the evenings when you get tired, I did sometimes think, oh my God, what have you done?
What have you done?
And yet I thought, no, I still have a little bit of money left. I didn't have much money left, actually, because I had to buy a car. I had to buy a printer, all those things that you take for granted when you're in employment, you all of a sudden don't have. You know, I had to buy broadband and all those sort of things. But I thought, no, I'm going to stick it out. And it was very good, because I was then hired initially. It was supposed to be 3 days a week for 2 months. It ended up being 9 months, and it ended up being 4 or 5 days a week.
Oh my gosh.
And guess what? All my initial customers for Room for Style were all American Express executives.
Were they? Oh my gosh, really?
Yes, because like my
fantastic
boss, my previous boss, the good boss, she actually moved to London and bought a house, and she needed it to be furnished and outfitted, and she knew I was good with those sort of things, so she just said, Petra, can you handle this for me?
Brilliant.
Somebody else came over who had a, you know, a 1-year contract and needed, again, the furniture styling and his stuff unpacking and all this. So I did lots of things like that. So, and in the process, what was really good, I also realized that much more than interior design, meaning soft furnishings and styling and this sort of thing, my passion was actually ripping things apart and taking walls out and making the space much more practical and functional. And so I realized it was really interior architecture that I was very passionate about. And as luck would have it, that was exactly the time when in the UK, buy-to-let mortgages started to appear, and a lot of property investment courses started to appear. And I just happened to be invited to one such course and immediately realized that, yes, that's the thing for me. I want to actually be able to buy properties myself and renovate them. And I decided also, actually, I had a young Australian couple living with me as lodgers. And they had gone into, they had both jobs. I think they were accountants or something like that. But they both decided that they also wanted to run their own business alongside, and they'd gone into network marketing, which was a new thing for me at the time. I didn't really know much about it. But one of the things that they did in this network marketing was they had very fantastic courses to learn about even just that you have to have first and foremost a certain attitude and a certain way of thinking to become successful as an entrepreneur and have your own business. And they came back with this book called Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki.
Brilliant book.
And I read this book. It's very easy to read. I recommend it highly to anybody who's thinking of going self-employed. And it basically made me aware for the first time in my life, I think, that there was such a thing as an employee or a self-employed person, which was effectively meaning exchanging time for money. Or you could be an investor or a business owner, which meant you exchange time for money once and then your money makes the money. And I really got that that would be the thing with property. And being very passionate about property, I thought, wow, this is what I'm going to be, a property investor, because I'm going to invest my time and effort once in a property and then I'm going to let it. And then that property is going to put the money back into my pocket and become an asset. And so said and done, that's what I decided to do. It was also a time, it was really sort of a property bubble, I would say, at the time. Property was going up, up, up. And in the UK, property has doubled in value every 7 years. And it's still doing it, even though you can have huge dips in between. But that's why it's a long-term investment cycle. And that suited me exactly. And in those days, it was also very easy to get credit. And that was one of the things that they taught us, because I didn't really have any money to get started. But what I did have, I still had a track record of great employment and a great salary. And so very quickly after leaving, I applied for all these credit cards, which is what they taught us to do. And got myself a huge amount of credit, which I was then able to use either for deposits or for, which wasn't really meant to happen that way, but it just worked out that way. But certainly for the renovations, because I would then always shift it to a new credit card who would do a zero interest balance transfer. And I became very good at managing these credits on my credit cards, and having mostly zero interest credit, because you could get it for anything between a year and 2 years.
It sounds exhausting.
It wasn't.
It's a lot to keep track of, isn't it?
It wasn't really, because I developed a system very quickly.
Okay.
And I mean, I ended up with 14 credit cards, and I managed those and shifted those around. And that worked actually really well. And also I was very excited about it all. I did something that I was really, really passionate about. And I then realized that my entire career was leading up to this, because I realized that I went into the hotel business not because I wanted to be a hotelier, but I always remembered that whenever you saw a hotel in a brochure or on television, it was always very beautiful interiors. Mm. And I guess I was keen on those beautiful interiors. And so when I first started in the hotel business, I worked in some very luxurious hotels, but very quickly realized that I wasn't the beneficiary of these lovely interiors. It was everybody who came to stay, but I had the worst room in the house if I lived there, which I sometimes did. So I quickly got to understand that that was not the right business for me. And one day after I had arrived in London, and actually Hyatt brought me over from Brussels to London to help out initially on a secondment, because they were setting up an international reservation center. And after helping out for a couple of weeks, they offered me the job to run it. So that was a big career move for me. I thought, why not? Why don't I come over? And then after about 2 years there, one of the girls that had worked with me had gone to join a travel agency, a business travel agency. You may remember Lund Polly in those days.
Yeah.
Every country had very huge business travel agencies. And they had joined a consortium because these business travel agencies realized that they had to put, that there was strengths in numbers. So they created consortia to buy together airlines, seats and hotel accommodation to get better deals for their customers. And this girl had joined Lund Polly, and she called me one day and she said, they've just joined this consortium and they are looking for somebody to develop a hotel program for them. And I thought, that's it. That's what I need to do. So I applied for the job before it was even made public. And I said, look, I have this background in hotel business. I speak many languages. You know, I know, understand the business. And so I got the job really almost by default.
Have you ever thought of writing a book on creating possibilities?
No, but that's quite a nice idea.
I think you need to write a book on creating possibilities. What is your...
Although in those days I was creating possibility without realizing I was doing it.
Ah.
It is afterwards that I realized, actually, that's what you have been doing. And then what my job became was actually contracting with international hotels worldwide, which got me to travel all around the world and, you know, experiencing these hotels, contracting with hotels, which I loved. I visited 43 countries at that time. And that pandered to my love of travel and international. I love people. I love international food. Everything. It was tough, but it suited me. And strangely, I had an almost photographic memory for all these hotels because of the interiors, because I just could remember hotels very well because of that. So it was quite easy for me to make choices and choose hotels on the basis of their interiors and their facilities and everything. And when this all happened and I started to invest in property and become sort of my own interior designer almost, I realized that all of this had been leading up to this. That was always my passion, because already as a child, I was hanging curtains in the attic and creating homes in the attic to play home. And that was always something I was passionate about.
There's a brilliant advert on UK television at the moment of looking at young kids and seeing the adult they're going to become. And I think it's such a clever advert when you see them doing certain things and you see a little girl playing and she's suddenly, and then she grows up to be a ballerina or something like that. It's really interesting that when we look back at what we did when we were children and how that translates
into where you end up.
It's about capturing that passion, because we're born with our purpose.
Absolutely.
We don't recognise that's what it is when we're children.
And actually, I think I became totally aware of it. As I said, I did a lot of self-development work in those days. And one of the things I did was with a guy called Roger Hamilton. He does a course called Wealth Dynamics, which is all about finding out where you are in flow.
Right.
And because his theory is that when you are in flow, you attract. You don't have to look and chase for business. You attract it. And you attract other people who are in flow in things that are complementing to what you do. And that was at a time when I was really very uncertain, was I doing the right thing? Mm. And then this was all about, when are you in flow? And I realized, yes, when I'm doing interiors, when I think about property, I'm in flow. I forget to eat, to drink, to sleep. And I'm just in flow.
What's your favorite project so far?
It's very difficult to say because I've loved every single project and every single project brought its own challenges. But probably renovating somebody's cottage here in Hastings, which we literally ripped out the entire interior and recreated a much, much, much better space by even, you know, creating two new staircases, spiral staircases in the middle of the cottage instead of at two ends, which made it very long and thin and narrow and no good space. And also that one, I was able to do everything, including choosing the furniture and the furnishings and the dressing it. And because it's a holiday home, it's actually people who live in Singapore. So it was, first of all, nice that they weren't around, because typically clients being around, they interfere a little bit. Whereas them being away, they didn't get the pressure, you see. So, yeah. And with the new technology, with Skype and everything, it was easy to communicate with them. But also because it was really great, because it also allowed me to almost think like a hotelier again, creating an environment that would be suitable for them when they come themselves on holiday, but making it practical enough so that they could lock their private things away easily, so that when it was for holiday guests, it would be just for holiday guests, creating it in such a way that it was easy to maintain and to clean. So, for instance, because it's difficult going up the spiral stairs with a Hoover, I ended up creating a little storage facility on each floor for a Hoover so that the cleaners wouldn't damage the stairs going up and down with them.
It's those little things that make a huge difference.
Yeah, and actually when the parents of the current owners came to visit it, they live in the UK, they're Hong Kong Chinese, Singapore Chinese, and they came to visit and the father said, "This house is amazing. This has so much storage. This is unbelievable." He said, "Every single house that I've lived in my life, I have always had to build storage. This one has everything you could possibly want."
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Because I did create a lot of built-in storage. Fantastic. And so it's not just pretty to look at, but it works really well from a holiday maker perspective, from a holiday owner perspective, and for them to visit for their own holidays. And I could really give it this beautiful seaside feel to it and create that through all the interiors, so to create like a little theme in it. So that was really lovely.
You've worked in America, haven't you? You've worked in New York.
I have done I've done one renovation project in New York where I planned it and project managed it and designed it.
You enjoy New York. You love America.
I loved it. That was really, really wonderful. And it was very interesting because the American builders, although they do the same thing as the English builders, but they have a completely different vocabulary for it. So I learned that all the lighting and plumbing and whatever is called something very different in America. So it's actually, I learned quasi another language.
American English. Well,
the American expressions, you know, for they don't call a socket, they call it an outlet and things like that. You think it's the same, but it isn't. And so that was very interesting.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah. You can get you into a lot of trouble sometimes when you don't understand the different,
absolutely,
the different words. Yes, as I've learned to my peril on occasions. So what future possibilities are you creating right now?
Well, the latest possibility I created was when everything collapsed around me during the credit crunch, and I have just gone through a 7-year really a thirst period and drought. I would call it financial drought, and it was a disaster. I lost practically everything. I then created a possibility that I could still be feeling wealthy and content, not having achieved what I assumed would be my financial success. And actually, for quite a long time, I struggled with feeling that I was a failure, I had failed. And that took quite some doing to come back up to a positive attitude. Now I've created the possibility that I will turn my fortune around. I will get out of the debt that I still am in. I'm functioning very well again as an independent business, business owner and running my business as an interior design consultant and designer and interior architectural design consultant for customers. So I haven't been able to do it for myself, but I have created the possibility that I will attract somebody to do this in joint venture with, to go back into property development. Basically to go back into property development again at some scale. And I still have this dream that one day I will create a boutique hotel.
Nice.
I don't want to run it, but I want to create it and redesign it.
So if there are any people out there listening who might be interested in property development and a joint venture, well, then they need to go onto your website, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, absolutely.
www.room4 with number four. style.com. Brilliant.
Or even maybe better now, a lot of people who are thinking of renovating go on this new site and new app, which started in America, but it's now come to the UK and is expanding, called House, H-O-U-Z-Z, .com or .co.uk, which is almost an online interior design magazine, because every interior image you can possibly think of, you will find there.
Brilliant.
Also for houses, not just interiors and gardens.
Brilliant.
And I have a new profile there, and my latest projects
and
are
the
on
link
there.
For that will be on the website of the radio station, so people will be able to go straight to your link there.
Excellent.
Brilliant.
That's excellent.
Thank you, Petra. Fabulous. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Katie Day and Creating Ripples. Listen in and be part of the revolution that is rocking the world. Women over 50 are the new future. We are awesome, fearless, fabulous, inspiring, passionate, courageous. In fact, we just rock.
I agree.